Welcome to the Energetic Radio Podcast. My name is Dale Sowerbottom. Each week, I'll bring you inspirational guests who will help you bring fun, energy, and purpose into your lives. Let the show begin.
Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. This is episode number 325 with Lane Beachley, OAM, the ultimate surfer, and I think was one of the pioneers of really putting women's sport on the map, particularly with surfing. And she is a seven-time champion of the World Surfing Tour. And not only that, running amazing things now with her talking, her keynotes and her corporate work. And this is the best part of Lane's episode. It was pretty hard to pick a lot because we had a wonderful chat and it was so engaging speaking and just obviously sharing the microphone with Lane. I was in awe, and I think you'll see why in today's chat. Enjoy episode number 325 with Lane Beachley.
I had to start comparing myself to myself, and that means holding myself accountable and being my honesty barometer and looking in the mirror. And if my results aren't stepping up, my results aren't fulfilling my expectations of myself, then I have to ask myself the tough questions. What am I doing that's holding me back? Or what am I thinking? What am I saying? How am I feeling? So in the times that I didn't have the courage to look in my own reflection and ask myself these questions, I had my dream team around me who brought it out in me, who held me accountable, who basically said, you got to pull your head out of your ass because what you're doing is getting you further away from your goal, not closer to it. So, yeah, it was valuable to be able to learn those lessons early on. But in saying that, when I joined the tour, I instantly compared myself to my peers and thought, oh, my God, because those peers that I was comparing myself to were highlighting all of my flaws and all of my weaknesses.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a good opportunity for me to look at what I was doing and then determine, well, what do I need to do now?
Yeah. I couldn't imagine.
And am I willing to?
Yeah, of course. Well, that's the thing. Am I willing to face that and move on with it, I suppose? So let's go back 14-year-old when you said, right, I'm going to be world champion. Like you said, female athletes back then, do you know what I mean? There was not the limelight on them, particularly surfers. It was a very male-dominated arena. So how did you overcome the criticism, the backlash, everything that was thrown at you and just say, piss off, I'm going to do this? And you did it. You proved everyone. Like, unbelievable.
So three things that I utilized. First was my clarity of vision. I was very clear on what I wanted to achieve and who I wanted to be. So knowing who I want to be and how I want to show up, that helped me define and then design my dream team. So the people who are going to elevate me and nurture me and challenge me along the way, people who are going to console me in my losses, they're going to celebrate my successes, but they're always going to be there nonetheless. And then lastly was the actions that I took. So holding myself accountable to take the actions that got me closer to my dream team or closer to my vision. And then when there was times when I was stepping away from my vision, my dream team would be able to intervene and start correcting the actions that I was taking. So that's kind of like my model to sustain success, really, that can be applied to anyone in any time of their lives in any profession.
I love that. And is that now what you sort of, 'cause I know you do so much speaking and keynotes and everything like that. Is that the same as a 14-year-old Lane, that same vision and outlook? Is that what you sort of project now and share with others?
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely the model that I talk to. When I reflect back on the 14-year-old Lane, if only I was so conscious to be able to have designed that model. Because there were times 2020 hindsight, right? There were times when I wasn't clear on my vision, but I was clear on who I wanted to be. And so that helped me prevented me from being sucked into peer group pressure and doing things that I would regret, such as taking drugs and picking up cigarettes and drinking alcohol. And so that those choices were easily made for me. There was times when I did crumble under peer group pressure and would go out and drink, but I never did drugs and I've never to this day smoked a cigarette, and I'm really proud to have honoured my health in that way. There was one other thing that I did that I feel is really relevant to this day, and I found male allies. Going into a male-dominated environment, I really made a concerted effort to introduce myself and make friends with the best surfers in the water, because then they started looking after me. And I recognized that if I want to be the best surfer in the world, I need to surround myself with better surfers than I am. And when you surround yourself with the best, you save yourself a lot of time.
And that metaphor is that's very popular and common now that if you're the smartest in the room, you're in the wrong room, Lane. And essentially, you were way ahead of your time, because it doesn't matter if you're in a boardroom, a classroom, a gym, or in the ocean. If you are with people that are better than you, that will help you grow, continue to develop, that's such a smart thing to do, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and it certainly elevated me and shortcut my struggles as well. It allowed me to learn from the best and ask really annoying questions. And, you know, Wendy Botha recalled, you know, she often refers to me as just a pain in the ass, because I just kept asking, how do you do that? And why do you do that? And what happens then? And how can I apply it? And who do you work with? And, you know, I was like, she's just like, shut up.
But
I had
that.
So much respect for Wendy and how fit and strong and tenacious and her mental attitude. So I attempted to learn from the best as much as I can possibly learn. And like you say, I wasn't the smartest in the room, and I always loved to ask questions. I was naturally curious and still am.
I think one of the best bits of advice I've ever been given, Lane, is if you're talking, you're not learning. And I think that really what it comes back down to, quality questions. Like, if you're always asking quality questions, then normally that'll lead to a quality conversation. Is that something that you were taught, or you just wanted to learn? You're like a sponge.
Well, it's definitely like a sponge. But when you say if you're just talking, you're not learning, how does that pertain to a keynote speaker who stands on stage 50 weeks a year and talks to people? Does that
you've
mean
learned
you're
your whole year.
I'm not learning?
No. Because I'm sure you learn after it. Sometimes the learnings take place afterwards. But I find if you're in a social setting.
I do tend to learn when I'm on stage, because I'm constantly analysing my audience. Well, now I can't do that because it's all virtual. But I get the point. You know, people tend to want to tell before they listen and learn
themselves.
That's what
I mean. Yep.
But that's the great thing. We all teach what we need to learn ourselves. So often I'm listening to what I'm saying, going, actually, you know what? I need to apply that to my own life right now.
Yep.
And so it's always valuable to have conversations with people who challenge you. And I tend to surround myself with people who aren't agreeable. You know, my husband's a devil's advocate. He's first to pick the eyes out of something. So I can draw very positive conclusions, and he can take me to the opposite side of that spectrum, and it gives me a really healthy balance of perspective.
Yeah, because if you have just yes men or pump your tires up all the time, you are going to get inflated and pop. And I totally agree with that. So let's go back to six in a row, because nobody has done this. From 1998, you went six in a row. Now, I can't imagine how did you keep the drive? Like, first of all, winning one would have been incredible, but then how did you go, right, I'm just going to keep going year after year after year and win six in a row, be the best in the world? Like, how did you do that? Like, that's crazy.
The simple answer is I'd start every year by wiping the slate clean. So I didn't feel like I was defending anything. I was chasing after as much as my competitors were. However, I also backed myself based on my experiences. So I wiped the slate clean, but I didn't wipe it completely clean where I thought, I've never done this before. I wiped it clean as far as what the expectations were. And I went, all right, I've been here before. I know what to do. The other thing that I did was I brought a new skill or technique to the table every year. So it made my competitors look over their shoulders, wondering what's Lane bringing to the table this year. And are we going to be able to match it and keep up with it? I invested more in the process that I did than most of my competitors. So that gave me a distinct competitive advantage. So I focused more on my equipment, my nutrition, and probably my fitness, those three things, more than the rest of my peers did.